If Janet Smith McNeil had lived in the Wild West 100 years later, she would have been a famous cowgirl, as they were called at that time. She and her husband, Archibald, may have been the biggest cattle ranchers in America before the war. She was the child of lowland Scots. Nothing is known of her childhood until the family immigrated in 1739 when she was about 19. Her mother died on the voyage. Her father settled them in today's Harnett County, northeast of Fayetteville, but died 5 years later. Archibald, whom she married in 1748, was easygoing, known as Archie Scrublin, slang for insignificant, according to a Harnett history book. But he signed a 1757 petition against the court justices running Cumberland County, which included modern Harnett then. It said, "They have always opposed every good measure and endeavor to turn everything to their own private advantage," which sounds like the complaints of famous protesters called the Regulators 10 years later. Given Archie's reputation, it is not surprising that Jenny appears to have done most of the work in that family. She claimed large tracts of land with a surveying method neighbors did not appreciate, by making an enslaved person walk until she rang a large bell. At the sound of the bell, he was to travel another direction, and so forth until he had marked off the land. This led to multiple lawsuits that were still in play when her son inherited the claims. She would sometimes lead cattle drives on her own, taking as many as 1,500 head to the nearest markets in Petersburg, Virginia. Tax records only list 500 head owned by the McNeils, but she may have been driving others' animals under contract. McNeil was a hard-nosed business person. When one Virginia farmer refused to sell grain for her herd, she had her ranch hands tear down his fences so the cattle could feed themselves. No doubt the man underestimated the petite, fair-skinned redhead nicknamed Jenny Bon, Gaelic for the fair, by her neighbors. At some point, she visited Philadelphia and met Benjamin Franklin. He so impressed her that his name was given to children for multiple generations in her family. Yet when the war broke out, she officially declared herself neutral, for business reasons. This may seem unusual, but historians estimate there were as many neutrals during the war as there were patriots or backers of the king. Archibald's choice in that decision, if Jenny gave him one, is unrecorded. Families often split their loyalties, and hers was no exception. They had 7 sons, one of whom died young, and 2 daughters. 5 sons were loyalists, including Leather Eye Hector McNeil, also called One Eye to differentiate him from another Tory colonel with the same name. He lost the eye in a fight with his future father-in-law, who hated him and lost the tip of his nose in the bargain. The 6th son served briefly in the Patriot Militia and was the Cumberland County Sheriff. Jenny visited William Sproul after a 1781 Loyalist raid on his ferry over the Cape Fear River, in which 1 man was killed and Sproul and his wife were abused. He was thinking of returning home to Scotland or moving to Philadelphia, where his brother lived. With both in tears, she talked him into an option to buy the ferry at a discounted price. She bought the land, it became McNeil's ferry, and shortly after, Sproul was murdered. During the war, the McNeils lived on Anderson Creek, east along the little river that passes north of the cemetery, to your right when facing the monument. On its retreat to Wilmington to recover from the Battle of Guilford Courthouse, the British Army of Lieutenant General Lord Charles Cornwallis camped on the McNeils' plantation. One source says British foragers came to the house and grabbed her riding horse. Jenny went out to say goodbye, supposedly. She rubbed her neck, then pushed off the bridle, spooked her with the reins, and said, "Get, you beast!" The horse ran. Jenny told the British, "Catch her if you can." They couldn't. After the war, Jenny and Archibald moved about 6 miles east of here. Despite her death in 1791 at 71, there was yet another chapter to be written about her. Please scroll down to the audio clip under Monumental Bad Luck.